views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you bring out the best in yourself at work, at home, and at play, so that you can bring out the best in everyone else around you as well. Today, I want to tackle the topic of parent power, which I also refer to as the magic wand of parenting. But in reality, this power goes way beyond parenting and applies to any situation where one person has authority over another. So you could be a coach, a teacher, a daycare worker, a babysitter, grandparent, boss, manager, security guard, police officer. You get the picture. Anytime you have authority over another person, this information can apply. Now, this is an important topic for all of us to be aware of because so many people in positions of authority misuse this power. And as a result, they make life much harder than it needs to be. When you overuse your power, you build a relationship that relies on you flexing your power muscle every time you want someone to listen to you. This creates resistance. It sets you up for power struggles, and it prematurely drains your power. When you use your power wisely, you build respect, you teach life skills, and you end up empowering the other person. This is especially important to know in regards to raising kids, because your parent power naturally runs out right about the time your child becomes a teenager. So if you haven't worked to build respect during the early years, you'll have nothing but, I guess, possibly fear to use to get your way, which means that you'll have to rely on brute force, tough love, threats, or other creative manipulation to gain compliance. And that, my friends, is exhausting. So I'm going to mostly talk about this topic from the perspective of being a parent, because after all, this is the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show, but I encourage you to think about how it applies in other areas of your life as well. So what is this magic wand? Parent power is the right that you have as a parent to tell your kids what to do and expect them to listen, which, as you likely notice, leaves a lot of room for interpretation. We are not really told that we have this power. It's just a given. In fact, anytime you are responsible for the well-being of someone else, this power naturally arises. But the dynamics of it can really change depending on the age, upbringing, and situation of the people that you're looking after. When it comes to kids, your power is at its strongest when they're little, and it naturally diminishes as a child gets older. If you listen to my show on boundaries a month or so ago, you might recognize that your power goes down as your child's personal control of their boundaries goes up. One of the biggest oversights I see regarding our magic wand is that even though parents naturally have this power, we are not shown how to use it effectively. And we are definitely not educated in what we might be doing to undermine its effectiveness. I see this as a critical oversight because, used wisely, the use of this power actually makes your relationship stronger. As I mentioned before, it builds in respect. It teaches kids how to think. So let me show you what I mean with one of my own experiences. In my book, Break Free of Parenting Pressures, I share a story about when my youngest started going through a stage of not wanting to join us on family outings. He was somewhere around 9 years old. Now, if you have my book, and you look for the story, you'll notice that he had not transitioned yet. So I refer to him in the book as my daughter. This has no relevancy, but it might be confusing if you're listening to me now, then checking my book, and you don't know my story. So I always refer to him now as my youngest son because that's who he is. All right, back to the story. At first, we would try to convince my son to come. And then if it wasn't possible, one of us would stay home or we'd leave him at his grandparents or something like that in an effort to avoid a battle. But this wasn't always possible because a lot of my errands were done when my husband was at work, or even worse was when we planned a whole family outing and having half the family stay home kind of messed that up completely. So I found myself trying a variety of ways to get him to come along, depending on my mood and how badly I needed to get out the door. I can't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure that there was some bribery, cajoling, explaining where we were going and why we had to go there, threatening, yelling, forcing. In every case, even if I got my way, we'd have a miserable time and it was ruining the fun for everyone. Plus, my son was learning to dig his heels in anytime we wanted to go somewhere because he liked the power that it gave him. In other words, over time, I had created a guaranteed power struggle, even when we were going somewhere that he really wanted to go. Now, let me pause here and tell you why a power struggle is never a good idea for a parent to get into. Actually, any power struggle where one person has more power over the other. So if you're a boss, a coach, a babysitter, a teacher, whatever, falls into this category. Anytime a power struggle occurs in a situation where one has less power than the other, the person with more authority at the beginning always loses. Because really, there are two potential outcomes. One is that the more powerful person, me, in this situation, can use their authority to win the struggle, which makes the person with less power want more and therefore ensures future power struggles. The other outcome is that the more powerful person can give in. So I could change my mind for any reason. Okay, maybe because the fight just wasn't worth it in the first place, or maybe I realized I was in the wrong. It doesn't matter what the reason is. When you give in, the underdog gets the dopamine hit that happens with the win and wants more of that, meaning it ensures more struggles in the future. So power struggles are never a great place to be when you are the person in the position of authority. It's always best to avoid them whenever possible. And I'm going to show you how to do that. And if you only figure out that you're in a power struggle partway through, you're going to want to back out gracefully and calm yourself down until you're ready to come back and do the damage control. Okay? So you can't have a tug of war if only one person picks up the rope. Your goal in these situations is to refuse to pick up the rope at all. Now, in my situation, I knew that simply waving my magic wand now and forcing my son to comply was not going to get the long-term results I needed. I needed to push the reset button on the whole scenario. So I put my parent creativity cap on and I started thinking about, okay, what is it that I need? Why do I need it? And how could I possibly make this happen? Now, I realized pretty quickly that there's quite a few things I could do to set us up for success ahead of time in the future. But first, I needed to stop the struggles. The only way to regain my authority was to use my magic wand calmly, sparingly, intentionally, and in a consistent way. So with that in mind, I figured out my plan, and then I told my son, I need you to come with me when I have to go somewhere, and I don't like fighting with you to make that happen. So when you decide you won't come with us, I will use my parent power and start removing things that you like TV time, movies, computer time, and I'm going to continue to take them away until you listen. There's going to be no discussion. I'm not going to fight about it. I will simply take things away. The longer you won't listen to me, the more you will lose. I don't want to do this, but I also do not want to fight with you every time we have to go somewhere. Now, after this initial discussion, which I should mention we had at a time where we weren't going anywhere so that we could talk about it, he could ask questions, he could share his thoughts about it, he could rant and rave about it, he could do whatever he wanted, I wasn't changing my mind. Okay. And then the next time that the problem arose, I didn't say, think about what you're deciding or anything. I just jumped right into it. We are leaving and you need to come with us. You have 10 seconds to decide to work with me. And then I start using my parent power to take things away. I like to count silently in my head because otherwise to me, it feels like a threat. So I told him when I was at 5 and then when I got to 10, I said, there goes the computer for the evening. Then I paused. There goes the computer for tomorrow. There goes the computer for Wednesday. Now, after continuing with that, I said, okay, that's a week of computer. We're moving on to movie time. There goes movie time for this evening. I focused my energy on staying calm, being consistent, respectful, and then following through on whatever transpired from that interaction. Thankfully, I'd given myself extra time, so I didn't feel the panic of needing to go out the door, and that really helped me to stay calm. As soon as it looked like he was listening, I would slow down on what I was taking away. But if he stopped getting ready, if he started to grumble again, if he started to argue with me, I would just start right back up. The first time I ended up taking away computer time, movies, TV time, Game Boy, which is funny because he didn't even really play Game Boy. I took all of it away for 2 weeks and I was about to launch into play dates and sleepovers. So I will admit I was starting to panic a little bit, but I stayed calm. I reminded myself that this was way better than fighting with him. And I didn't try to reason with him, bribe him, or get angry at what was going on. Amazingly, this worked despite the fact that my son was only allowed 1 hour total for computer, TV, movie, and so on a weekday, and 2 hours on a weekend. That fact didn't seem to make a difference at all. My son could see that I wasn't picking up the end of the tug-of-war rope, which meant I wasn't stopping until he listened. Even though we'd had many power struggles over this, I really only had to use this tactic twice. And the second time, I only took one thing away for 2 days. And then this problem actually became a thing of the past. So let me give you 5 tips for keeping your magic wand in tip-top shape. Number 1, put your energy into controlling yourself. Your wand only works when you're calm, cool, and collected. If you find yourself losing your cool, you are entering into power struggle territory, so you need to stop it and fast. As long as you stay calm and you don't let your emotions run the show, you are refusing to pick up the tug-of-war rope, which means you can still use your power and keep it working for you. It's not showing weakness to tell the other person that you need some time to cool down or think about things before continuing. So if that happens, if you feel yourself starting to lose it, it's fine for you to just tell them that. I need to take a few minutes. It's actually modeling self-control and likely will earn their respect in the long run. When it comes to holding on to your personal power, you are golden when you can control yourself. Tip number 2, pick your battles wisely. You must be sure before pulling out your parent power that this is in fact a battle worth having. Sometimes, just like our kids, we will dig in our heels without a lot of thought. And even though we're supposed to be the bigger person in the discussion, we will use our power just to get our way. It's best if you can get clear on what you are enforcing and why. My show on boundaries can really help you with that. So check that out if you need guidance on it. And then you want to consistently enforce the big things. So if you let your current mood determine what you're going to fight over, you will find that the other person challenges you more because they need to figure out your mood before they know what they can or cannot do. So anytime you flex your power muscle, you make life a little harder on yourself. Be sure it's worth the effort before striking that pose. Tip number 3, be clear about what's involved. Sometimes we think others know what we're asking when they really don't. We also don't always have the full picture about why they are resisting. So be clear about what's about to happen. You know, bath time in 10 minutes. You each get 5 minutes to play the game, and then the game gets turned off and you both come for bath. I'll set the timer. Clarity really helps you there. Of course, if you have no issues with bath time, don't start throwing around unnecessary rules. This is for things that you're getting some resistance on and that could lead to a power struggle. When that's happening, avoid confusing the conversation with bribes that you think will sweeten the pot. So you don't want to say to them, come on, after your bath, you can have a fruit roll-up. It's fine if they get a fruit roll-up after their bath, but it doesn't need to come into the discussion now at all unless they ask for one. And then you could answer quite simply with something like, yeah, right after your bath. When you do get resistance, it's typically worth it to have a conversation later about why they were resisting your request. It could be that their sister had hogged the game for the whole hour, and now, finally, when it was just coming up to their time to get to play it, you announced that it was bath time, and then not only that, but you gave their sister 5 more minutes on the game. So in the end, all they got was 5 minutes. Now, even though you can't change the past, this can help you to empathize with them. It gives you clues about how to do things better in the future, and it also allows them to feel heard. So it's a great way to follow up. Tip number 4, once you commit to it, stand strong. Part of our kids' job is to test us, to try and figure out where they can push boundaries and where they cannot. When you really understand this, you can use it to your advantage because you no longer need to feel like a meanie. You're simply helping them learn that some rules need to be listened to. So don't get mad at them for testing the limits. That's a human tendency, and it's a sign that your child is learning to stand in their power. Just be clear about which rules are inflexible and enforce them calmly. So things like, put on your life jacket before going out that door, or you stay in the cabin. Tip number 5, use your power sparingly. Just because your power works really well doesn't mean you should pull it out every time you want to get your way. As humans, we like getting our way, but flexing our muscles all the time overuses it and it weakens your future requests. On top of that, if you use your power and then allow the other person not to comply, you are prematurely weakening your power. So every time you pull out your wand, you are committing yourself to seeing it through to the bitter end. This can be quite exhausting. So, as I mentioned earlier, pick your battles wisely. Another reason to use it sparingly is that an overused tool has a good chance of burning out, and your magic wand is no exception. Every time you use it, you increase the odds of the person that you have power over deciding to call you on it, especially if they have a really strong personality. I used to see this with teachers all the time who use their power rather than their creativity and relationship building tools to gain compliance from their class. At some point, a strong-willed student would call their bluff, and suddenly that tool stopped being effective for half the class. The teacher often blamed the student when, in fact, it was their misuse of power and lack of variety that was really the problem. Now, I'm not blaming the teacher for this. They didn't have the training to do what they needed to do with that class, but I am saying when you pay attention, it can really make a difference. As our kids get older, I've mentioned this a couple times, our parent power or authority over them naturally decreases. And when this happens, you need to rely on the mutual respect that you've built with them all those years that you had your power. You also need to have empowered your teenager to know how to make good choices. Staying calm, being respectful, being intentional and consistent can all help your child make good safety decisions in the future and will result in a more harmonious family overall. When you reserve your magic wand for those moments when you must get your way, or as a last resort when nothing else is working, you will find that people listen because they recognize that this is not your normal style of operation. So there you have it. 5 tips for using your magic wand in a manner that will help your power stay strong as long as possible. It will allow you to get your way when absolutely necessary and minimize the number of power struggles that you experience on any given day. It's not easy to reestablish your power over another once it's lost, but you can start building mutual respect at any step along the road. It's a tougher row to hoe, especially when the other person has called your bluff. But if that's where you are at the moment, then it's an important part of your journey and you might as well embrace it. Remember, these tips work in any relationship where one person has power over another. So whether you are a parent, a boss, a group leader, a coach, a grandparent, whatever, keep tuning in to how much you're using your power to get your way. Your actions will be either building or destroying respect with that other person and can make your life easier or more miserable as a result. Before I leave you for today, I promise to give you a few ideas for preventing power struggles. So here are 6 tips from my Break Free of Parenting Pressures book. 1, be clear about your expectations and provide good reasons for your beliefs. Power struggles typically arise over the few things your child is learning he can control. So when he's young, those are things like what he eats, when he sleeps, how often he bathes, what he wears, and etc. So these are the areas you'll want to give some thought to if this idea is brand new to you and your child is still quite young. 2, explain your expectations to your child. Don't make this a lengthy lecture, but rather an age-appropriate explanation. If possible, decide on a consequence for slip-ups or a reward for compliance. It's much easier to deal out a consequence calmly when you've thought it through ahead of time. I found that my kids actually liked being part of the consequence and reward setting process, and they often suggested better ideas than I would have come up with on my own. Make sure that you have this conversation at a time when nothing is at stake. For example, don't set up bath time consequences 2 minutes before bath time or talk about bedtime expectations right at bedtime. If you do, you'll find that there's often stronger emotions involved than you might like and that would lead to a really good conversation. 3, understand that your child wants to have some say over his life, and one of the few areas he can truly control is his body. So give him as much choice as possible from as young an age as possible. So you can start with limited choices on a variety of things and then bring them in as often as you can. Questions like, do you want an apple or an orange? Do you want to wear the red shirt or the green one? Do you want a story before bed or 5 more minutes of Lego? Then, as your child shows an ability to make these decisions, move on to more open choices, like what would you like to have for breakfast? And if needed, you could create a list of possible breakfast foods, for example, and then let him choose what he wants from the list. Be careful not to offer a choice when you have a preconceived idea of what is the right choice. So for example, don't say, do you want to take a jacket when you believe it's too cold to go out without one? Instead, you might give a choice of, do you want to choose which jacket to bring or should I? Finally, don't be offended if you give a choice of 2 items, like do you want an apple or an orange, and your child responds with a 3rd choice, like banana. This shows she's thinking and is willing to speak up for what she would like. Of course, if she chose gummy bears, you could say, no, that's not one of your options. 4, refuse to fight. When your child decides to flex his power muscle, focus your energy on self-control. Now, we covered this pretty thoroughly earlier in the show. Let me just add here that kids love to push our buttons. It's a very powerful feeling to make an adult flip out. So use your energy at this time to stay calm and clear about your expectations. Protect your anger button and refuse to go into battle. 5, be consistent. A rule worth having is a rule worth enforcing. On special occasions, you can make changes, but overall, the rule should be there for a valid reason and therefore be worth insisting on. Let your family know ahead of time when you're going to allow an exception to the rule, and never do that once a power struggle has already begun. An example from my life is when we would be going out and we didn't have time to clean up toys before leaving. If we would be getting home at bedtime or later, I would announce before we left that there would be no captured toy box that evening, so they would know that this was an exception. If I didn't do this and just didn't capture the toys, it would create confusion about the rule. If you don't know what a captured toy box is, you can read all about it in my Break Free book. But for now, all you need to know is it was a tool that I created in my house that took the fighting right out of toy cleanup. Finally, number 6. If you do engage in a power struggle, get out as quickly as you can, acknowledge it to your child later, and assure him the rule is still in force. For example, "The fight we had over breakfast this morning, honey, was wrong, and I'm sorry it happened. Breakfast is an important part of the day and is still a rule in our house." It's unlikely you'll be able to avoid every power struggle, but you can cut them down to occasional events, and life will be much easier by following these ideas. There will be days when you are deep into a struggle before you recognize what is happening. This is normal. What's important is that you recognize and learn from it. It takes two to tango. The question is, how badly do you want to dance? With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of vibrant, powerful moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.